question today is, where does a person's soul go if they commit suicide? And of course, the people who ask those questions, as I've been asked by several lately, they would say, does he go to heaven or does he go to hell? And of course, it's not just a he, it's a she as well. It's talking about using generic term, using the word he. Well, what Webster's Dictionary defines suicide as self-murder. It's the act of designedly destroying one's own life. It also says, to constitute suicide, the person must be of years of discretion and of sound mind. So the question is, where does a person's soul go if they commit suicide, heaven or hell? And, of course, we know that Webster's is not always right in their definition, but I believe it was would be close enough right in, as far as that, because it would be constituted as self-murder. And many people would say that a person that commits suicide would go to hell. They're using 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, where it says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So they would be talking about the fact of a person, even if they said they were saved before they committed suicide, they would believe they would go to hell because they would say that he fell from grace. Or that term falling from grace would be equivalent in some circles as losing your salvation. But what does the Bible say? It's not what man says. It's what the Bible says about this question that we're dealing with today. John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. If we was to draw a line down through a paper and put on the left side no relationship to the Lord, and on the right side a relationship to the Lord, and knowing that we have to cross the line over into the other side, we would come from death on the left side, no relationship, into life, eternal life, on the right-hand side. And so therefore that verse, John 5:24, says a man that heard my word, but not enough just to hear, must believe, and it's talking about exercising saving faith, which takes a work of Holy Ghost conviction to bring a person to that place. But when he does that, he said he hath everlasting life. That's equivalent to eternal life. He's passed from death to life. He's passed from no relationship to a relationship. And he says he shall not come back into condemnation ever again. He'll never cross back a line across that line into a no relationship, no matter whatever happens in that person's life. The Bible also said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You see, he made a double statement there, even in case you don't understand what eternal life means. Because he said, if you've really been saved, that you've been born again, you've got eternal life. And you have it now, not when you die, not when you go to heaven, but now. It's inside. And if you could have the eternal life of God today and lose it tomorrow, it wasn't eternal today. Therefore, it's eternal life. In fact, he goes on to say in John 10:28, they shall never perish, but neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. John chapter 8, verse number 35 says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Can the devil take anything in your life and separate you from the love of God, is what he's saying? Love of Christ, can he do that? In other words, that's the seven things that's mentioned in verse 35, which is a representative list. If you've really been saved, he said, nay, in verse 37, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I know murder's not mentioned in that, or suicide's not mentioned in that, but he said, you're more than conquerors. You've passed from death into life, and you'll never go back. So therefore, for a saved person, if one has genuinely been saved, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, we're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So the moment a person dies, makes no difference what the condition is, if they've genuinely been saved, they will be absent from this body. The soul and spirit will leave out and be in the presence of the Lord in paradise in the third heaven. And so therefore, a man, if he's saved, that's the question. If a man's saved, where does he go? He goes to heaven. And so the question is, if a man commits suicide, where does he go? Heaven or hell? If he's really genuinely been saved, he'll go to heaven. Now, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:11, it's right after he mentioned a long representative list of sins that will cause a man not to inherit heaven. It doesn't mean inherit in heaven. It means he'll not inherit in heaven. Heaven itself. He'll not go to heaven. He's not saved. But he also says in the next verse, verse number 11 of 1 Corinthians 6, "And such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So some that say they're saved, I know, are not saved. But if they've really been washed, it matters not what happens, what occurs, they'll be in heaven. And I know many have been deceived, and many who profess the name of Christ have been, they're driven by demons. And they've got a counterfeit. They've got no Holy Spirit on the inside, and living inside. The Bible says, but in Romans 8:9, "But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his." So if you don't have the Holy Spirit living inside you, you're not saved. If you're not saved, you'll go to hell, no matter what the conditions are. If you're saved, you'll go to heaven, no matter what the conditions are at that point in time. But I know there's so many today in our churches that say they've been saved, yet they've been deceived and have a counterfeit, and they're driven by demons. Instead of them receiving the Holy Spirit, they received an unholy spirit, a demon that lives on the inside. I've talked to a person in the past who talked to me about the fact of how that there's just a little voice, someone standing on their shoulder, whispering in their ear, saying, "Kill yourself, kill yourself, kill yourself." And they did try to commit suicide, and I don't think they carried it through, but there's some who've done that because of demonic forces are of driving a person on the inside because they've not been saved, and they commit suicide because they never were saved, and they're possessed with demons, and there are those that's that way, and when they commit suicide, they'll automatically wake up in hell, no matter what their profession was, because they were never genuinely saved. Then you have some people who say that they could not live with what they had done. For instance, Judas Iscariot is one of those persons that committed suicide, we know in the Bible. And in other words, we know from Judas's life, as far as who he was, that he never was saved. Yet he had an outward conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ. He looked good to others because he dressed up the outside. In fact, the day whenever Jesus said, "One of you is going to betray me," all of the apostles said, "Is it I? Is it I?" Not one of them said, "It's Judas Iscariot, that low-down, dirty, rotten devil." No, they all thought they would do it before Judas would because he had conformed the outside, and therefore he never was saved. The Bible even says he was a devil from the beginning. And when it talks about Judas Iscariot falling, he fell from the office of apostleship. He did not fall from salvation. He never had salvation. He was a lost church member in the first church that the Lord instituted there. And the Bible says after he betrayed the Lord Jesus, he really couldn't live with himself. It says in Matthew chapter 27, verse 3, "Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood.' And they said, 'What is that to us? See thou to that.' And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself." He committed suicide because he couldn't live with the guilt that he had. Had sin in his life, of course, but he was never saved. And so as a result, he went to his own place, and that's hell. That's the place where he'll remain throughout an eternity in the lake of fire one day after the great white throne of judgment. So therefore, you see, he is... Judas Iscariot is an example of one who went to hell not because he committed suicide, but because he had never had a time and a place where the work of God was complete in his heart. And when the guilt came upon him after he knew some things, he couldn't live with himself, and he went out and hanged himself. And then you have people in wartime, such as King Saul. He was in war, and whenever he came to the place that he was wounded, the Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse number 4, "Then said Saul unto his armor-bearer, 'Draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me.' But his armor-bearer would not, for he was so afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon him." He committed suicide because of the fact he didn't want to be them to persecute him. He was so afraid, and he was afraid his enemy would persecute him and abuse him, is what it amounted to. So he did commit suicide. Now, I know many in war. We've heard of those in war who have taken their own lives. And instead of being captured and tortured by the enemy, they said they'll just take their own lives. That's in the Vietnam War. And no doubt some was in World War II and different wars. They've done that. But the question is not where did they go when they committed suicide, but the question is, were they truly saved before they committed suicide? Because, you see, if they were, they were saved. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes 11:3, if the cloud be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. In other words, the tree has no ability of its own to get up and move north, south, east, or west. Wherever it falls, it lies. When a person dies, whether it's by natural death, whether it's by suicide, or whatever it might be, when he dies, his destination is determined by whether or not he has been saved by the grace of God. And therefore, he will go to that place. And so the one who commits suicide is not the determining factor, but whether or not did the person possess real salvation. Then you have other people, such as Samson, some say he committed suicide, and when he pushed down the pillars of the temple and killed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. I don't know for certain that you'd even call that suicide in one way, and yet you may can. It doesn't matter. But the question was he saved before that time? And sure he was. And where did he go? He went to heaven. The proof text is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 32, where it mentions Samson in the heroes of faith, in the great hero of faith, hall of faith there that's mentioned in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 32. So he went to heaven. In other words, I'm not so sure, as I said, whether you'd call this suicide or not, because he was in war. He was in battle. But whatever it was, he was still saved. He went to heaven. And the thing about it is, you realize something, it's not what you call it. In other words, that's not the most important part. The real motive you see behind of what he did was that sin got him in that condition. He laid his head in the lap of Delilah. His lustful sin got him in a condition, caused him to break his vow with God, and had his eyes put out, and he had to grind down at the mill underneath, and he was the laughing stock of the Philistines, and so therefore he was saved. But he sinned, and he didn't confess that sin. He didn't get it right with God. And he reaped sin's consequences in his physical death. But his soul went to heaven. So the question is, where does a person's soul go if they commit suicide? Well, that depends on whether or not they're genuinely saved. If a person has been genuinely saved, they'll go to heaven. If they never were saved and had a counterfeit, and they're reaping the sin's consequences like Samson reaped it as a saved man, but they're reaping the consequences of their sin, they'll still reap in hell if they've never been saved like Judas Iscariot did. They'll die and go to hell. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.